Welcome to In the Know, presented by The Glass Doctor. We fix your pains. I'm News Director Dan Spaulding, and today we have a bit of a different show. Those familiar with this show know that the focus is almost always on the nuts and bolts of government and education. But today we have a special guest with a subject many can relate to, cancer. We're joined today with Rachel Hoffert, a professor of education at Grace College, and Dr. David Hoffert, her husband, who is superintendent at Warsaw Community Schools. Dave and Rachel are well known in the community and have been open about Rachel's battle with breast cancer. Today, she's here to share her story, talk about her willingness to be open about it, and what she's experienced. Today she's considered to be cancer-free and getting on with her life. Rachel and Dave, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here with you.
If you want to go ahead and just tell us what happened just about a year ago.
Sure. About a year ago, I had always heard, do breast self-exams, get mammograms. And so I did a self-exam, and I found just a strange bump. And I thought, you know what, at the time I was 42, so I thought, this can't be a big deal. I'll just make an appointment and get in just to get it checked. So I ended up getting the bump checked by Dr. Durecki at the Warsaw Women's Center. And he said, you know, Rachel, you're young, but let's still go ahead and do a diagnostic mammogram. I'll get you set up at the hospital for tomorrow. And I thought, okay, this still can't be anything. So I went to the hospital, went through with the diagnostic mammogram, and then was told, you know, Rachel, it just looks a little suspicious. Why don't we go ahead and do an ultrasound? And I said, do you do these on everybody? Well, no. So my heart sank a little, but I'm a pretty positive person, so I thought, can't be me. That concluded, the radiologist stepped out of the room, brought in the doctor, and the doctor said, it just is really suspicious. We don't want to call it cancer yet, but we'd like you to come back next week for a biopsy. And that's where my heart did sink. And I remember coming home to Dave, a little teary-eyed and saying, you know, they want to take a biopsy of the bump.
And then what happened next?
So I went in for the biopsy, which was pretty much a year ago today. It was a busy time at Grace College, new students on campus. I went in for the biopsy. I remember even asking them, what do you think? And they said, oh, we can't say anything until, you know, it's sent to the lab. So I thought, when will that be back? And they said around Labor Day. So I thought, okay, I have a week. I'm just going to try to breathe and enjoy my kids and their sports and my new students at Grace. And David really tried to encourage me to just enjoy the week we had before these results came back.
And then you got the results while at a football game.
Yes.
It was definitely a little bit of a different football game. You know, it was, we were excited to see our sophomore son playing. It was our oldest son's senior year going into it, and we had a fifth grader as well. So, I mean, as we looked at it, our plans for last year were definitely a lot different than what they ended up being. But we actually had both sets of parents with
stands.
Us.
What a
great night. And all of a sudden, you know, sometimes you just get those lab results. And we got the lab results. And we're doctors, but we're definitely not medical doctors. We're education doctors. And we're looking at these, and we're doing what every human being would probably be doing that they shouldn't do. We're going on to WebMD, and we're Googling everything. And I'm trying to sit there and be like, no, this isn't right. That's not right. They probably sent you the wrong thing. You know, no, that's not what it really means. And so very quickly, probably the people around us were trying to figure out what in the world was going on. But we snuck down to the S building, and we started calling a couple doctors that Rachel had worked with and had known. And sure enough, we're sitting there and realizing that, you know, our life just changed in a lot of ways. Our year that we thought we had all planned out as being this year of graduation, of our first one graduating, so many sports events, our jobs, all of a sudden was going to look quite a bit different.
Yeah. So from there, I looked at Dave in the S building and I said, let's just keep this between ourselves. You know, our son tonight might get a little varsity time. Our other son is running cross country tomorrow. I don't really want this community to know. They know who I am. And also thoughts were going through my head, like, and these go through cancer survivors or patients' head, like, did I do something to myself? Did I not eat right? Did I not exercise? Did I take on too much responsibility? Like, did I do this? And those are very common things I've learned that people with cancer think about. And I had all those thoughts going through my head, and I just thought, I'm just going to go out and watch this game. That's what I thought.
I think the other thing, looking back at it, and this was the learning for a cancer spouse,
yeah.
I think is one of the big ways to do it. You don't realize how many people are impacted. And that's something that we learned so much through this journey, because at the beginning, Rachel was so right. I mean, we have our public life, but we also have our private life. And, you know, people were probably wondering what in the world's going on with the Hoffords. Why aren't they at a certain event? Why aren't they someplace else? And for the next month there, we really tried to keep it quiet. And it was Rachel's wish. She actually made me promise that I would not say anything except for just a couple select few people that we knew would be watching out over our kids as well, too. But until she didn't have to see any of them. So, I mean, we waited until after the last football game, the last cross-country meet, and really right before she went in for her first surgery, to actually say anything to really anybody. Just because you didn't even know how to talk about it. You didn't know what to say, what not to say. And I remember probably about 2 or 3 weeks into this, Rachel looked at me, and I always call myself a fixer, because my job is spending all day fixing things. I don't know what I'm fixing from day to day, but I'm fixing something. Mm-hmm. And Rachel finally looked at me and she goes, "You can't fix this. Being the husband, you can support me, but you can't fix it." And that was probably about the first time in my life that I realized that I couldn't fix something on my own. It was going to take doctors. It was going to take support of other people. Again, learning from even other spouses that had been through this of how to best support your spouse as they're going through this journey.
So how does a husband and wife go about telling their three children about your diagnosis?
Yeah, that was an evening, you know, after that Labor Day week, after our parents had left, I said to Dave, and we had an appointment with a cancer specialist, and it was not funny, but the specialist told me, "I can do, you know, you can come to Goshen on this day." And I said to the receptionist, I said, "Oh, I can't come on that day. I'm supposed to take my son on a college trip." And she said, "Ma'am, you need to come on this day." But for me, like, I just wanted to keep going on with life. And one thing they really taught me in Goshen is you have to take care of yourself. It's okay to step back and take care of yourself. And so at that point, I said to Dave, "We need to tell the kids. We need to reschedule the college visit." And of course, he said, "Absolutely. What were you thinking, telling them you weren't going to go to the appointment?" And so we sat the kids down, and we just explained to them, you know what, Mom has a bump. They think it's breast cancer. We do know that. We're going to walk through this together as a family. We don't want you to be scared. We're going to make sure we tell, you know, your teachers and your coaches, and we're going to get through this together. And so many people in this community poured into our kids. We're just so blessed by that.
So ultimately, you decided to go ahead with a double mastectomy and plastic surgery.
Yes.
It was a 3.5-hour surgery just for the initial surgery.
Yeah.
But you got through it.
I got through it. Went up to Goshen. Dr. Laura Morris was absolutely amazing. Dave and I sat down with her for an hour. She went through every mammogram slide, explained my diagnosis, told me, "Rachel, I think we caught this early. We never know until we go in." And then gave me recommendations for treatment. And treatment did consist of a bilateral mastectomy, which was a major step. And when I say sometimes that it was an ugly process, it was an ugly process because there was a lot to give up. But yet I also knew that the recommendations of the doctors, I mean, they save lives. It was a life-saving recommendation. And so I went ahead. Dave, a lot of people offered to go up to the hospital with us, and Dave said, "Nope, I'm just going to go." And I had that 3.5 hour surgery, and they came out and told Dave, apparently, we didn't find any cancer in the lymph nodes. We think we got it all, but you're still going to have to wait for those lab results to come back. But I remember breathing a sigh of relief after the surgery when I heard that news.
You're listening to In the Know, presented by The Glass Doctor. We fix your pains. We'll continue our talk in a few minutes. You're listening to In the Know, presented by The Glass Doctor. We fix your pains. I'm Dan Spaulding, and we're talking about breast cancer with Rachel Hoffert and David Hoffert. Through this journey, you ended up having a pretty good connection with Goshen Cancer Center. Tell us about that, please.
Yes. I was amazed. Dr. Don Durecki referred me to Dr. Laura Morris, and she took it from there. And she didn't just take it from there. She also got to know David and I as people, asked us about our kids, asked us about our lives, and then thoroughly explained the diagnosis to the point where I knew I didn't need a second opinion. I could really trust her knowledge. And I was so thankful for that. I was also so thankful that, you know, they had a mind-body health counselor there to talk to us, offered to talk to the kids about just this cancer experience, and then a dietitian. So many people that came together, looked at my diagnosis, and walked through the treatment with our family, really.
How big of an impact was that?
I would say just incredible. I mean, as we, because going into the process, you feel like you're alone. You feel like you're the only one going through this. And even some of the, I know the first conversations that Rachel had with me, she's like, how does this add up? I'm not 70 years old. I'm not somebody that doesn't live a healthy lifestyle. I'm somebody that doesn't even have this in my family. How can this happen? And so just hearing them come alongside and say, okay, you're not the only one. And there are success stories, because too much of the time, and probably, again, this comes to the supportive husband piece, my biggest word of advice was stay off the internet, because there are so many bad stories out there on the internet. Everything is doom and gloom, or, you know, it's not a positive. People don't go out too much of the time and post the positives on social media. They post the negatives on social media. And so if you start Googling some of those things, you can get caught up so quickly inside of that negativity and self-doubt. And just as they came alongside saying, no, you're not the only one. Trust me, we have a lot of patients, and we have a lot of success stories that are here. And then that opened up the door for people really here in Warsaw. As we began to learn a little bit more of even people that had gone through the same procedures with Goshen Health, a lot of teachers inside of our system, a lot of other people that had kept it very quiet, and they kind of keep it as their way to be able to support others. We watch those individuals start coming forward and start saying, hey, here's what to expect in the next steps. Here's what you're going to go through. Here's the lows of it. Here's the highs of it. But again, here's what to expect in the coming months.
Now, in all this, this entire process, you did have a glimmer of hope. There was no need for radiation or chemo. Mm-hmm. Can you explain a little of that?
Sure. Because of the surgery I went through, they really looked at it and said, you know, it's not in your lymph nodes. This was caught early, Rachel, and I remember them saying that to me. And they said, you didn't wait. And that really stuck out to me. My situation, my tumor was sent away to be tested, and what they found out was it was very estrogen-fed, so I'm on a therapy pill, sorry, and I'll have to take that for 5 years, and it's definitely not fun. It definitely is a treatment, but it keeps the cancer away and reduces recurrence. But I think through it all, I learned, even with my girlfriends and now people in the community, take care of yourself, you know, do your self-exams, get your mammograms, be proactive, because it truly is life-saving.
Your experience with Goshen Cancer Center has led to a cooperative effort with you and the company to tell your story.
Yes, I remember Goshen calling me, and I thought, oh no, why is the doctor calling again? And I picked it up, and it was one of their marketing managers. And she said, Rachel, you know, would you be willing, along with maybe five other people, to tell your story? We're looking at just different age groups, different experiences. And at first I thought, I don't know. You know, I just don't know if I want to get out there and do that. And talking with Dave, I thought, why wouldn't I? This whole process has given David and I so much more empathy for people walking through medical issues, cancer, whatever that may be. So they said, you know, could you come in and shoot a little promotional video and just share your story? So I did. I volunteered to do that. I signed the paperwork. And then later I got a email that said, look at this, this shot of you on this billboard. And I said, billboard? I must have really signed my life away here. And they were laughing. And we looked, and Dave and I looked, and I thought, wow. And so then I saw a couple billboards go up. But I really saw it as an opportunity to just say, hey, you know what? Cancer can affect any of us. Let's find ways to be proactive, and let's take care of people that are cancer patients or survivors in our community.
So what was your message in the campaign?
Yeah, my message was basically they wrote a blog story about our family, but the main message in the campaign was to share my story of being an early breast cancer, now survivor, patient turned survivor, the journey I took, and the fact that it gave me a whole new leash on life. You know, I walk into places now and I'm just so thankful. Like, I'm so thankful to start the school year this year, because I just really, you realize how precious life is and how much you want to live life to the fullest. And I tried to make that come through in the campaign.
You're listening to In the Know, presented by The Glass Doctor. We fix your pains. We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to In the Know, presented by The Glass Doctor. We fix your pains. I'm Dan Spaulding. We're having a discussion about breast cancer with Rachel Hoffert and Dr. David Hoffert. You're both doctors. I apologize.
You're good.
So a billboard campaign, how did that work out?
Well, you know what? It was really interesting because the billboards went up and we didn't know where they were going to go up at. Rachel had just gotten a thing and a message that said, hey, you know, this campaign is going to start. And I want to go back again. Rachel probably underestimated the impact that she really has. Because when they first came to her, there was a lot of doubt, because really at this point, sometimes you just want to forget what happened. Because I mean, it's hard. It's still hard memories. It's a different type of trauma, and it's what we learned from the other cancer survivors as well too, is you know, it's a journey that you'll never forget, but sometimes you just want to go on with life. And so when they came to her and asked her to do this, you know, the first human reaction is, no way. I don't want to be involved in this. And as we talked about it a little bit more, just the impact that other people had on us that were willing to reach out and share their stories with us of hope and optimism, it really changed our family outlook on it. So as the billboards went up, again, I think when Rachel even wanted to hide for a day or two, because she's like, oh my gosh, is anybody going to, what are they going to say when they notice this? And, you know, it was really interesting. All of a sudden, we started getting text messages of, hey, I see this billboard here. And it opened up the door already for some conversations with some individuals. And Rachel talked about empathy, understanding what they're going through, understanding the waiting time. And I know it's something that we haven't talked that much about. The waiting sometimes was worse than even the surgeries and diagnosis themselves, because each time that you thought that you were finished, it was, well, hey, now we need to wait for one more test to see what's going to happen with chemo or with radiation or, you know, just what are the next steps in the process? And you felt like you were just about completed, and then there was always just one more little thing. So again, that campaign was really coming alongside and just saying, hey, we see you, we hear you, and it can happen to anybody inside of it. So our kids, you know, they thought it was funny to see mom on a billboard.
Yeah, we were driving our youngest, our sixth grader, him and I were driving in from Michigan, and all of a sudden he said, we were on by over by the party shop where the first sign went up, and he said, Mom, you're up there. And I said, what? It's up. And so right away when we got home, we told Dave, and the other two boys said, we got to go see it. So, yeah, we had a little bit of fun as a family, too, through this, because you got to smile. You have to smile.
As I recall, Pinkout Night last year at Warsaw Football was one of your moments where everything changed, and you've decided to be involved with that coming up in October.
Yeah, just real quickly, Pink Out Night last year, I attended that. I wore my shirt. In fact, we took a picture with our kids on the field. And I knew that we were going to let people know in the community and that in 1 week I was going to go through with my surgery. And I was sitting up in the stands, kind of becoming a little emotional thinking about it. And I looked over at that student section, and there was just a sea of pink. And I remember thinking, you know, they're wearing pink. They're supporting breast cancer awareness. My community, they might not know I have breast cancer, but they're behind me. In fact, these students give me courage and hope to walk through the next part of this phase in my journey. And they didn't know that. I remember becoming a little emotional and even sitting in the car for a few minutes. But those students gave me so much hope. And so as I thought about our student section and what they already do with their pink out shirts, Dave and I met with the student Cheer Black leaders just a week ago, and I was ready to share that story with them. And they heard it, and they said, you know what, we want to partner with you and walk alongside you to make this the best night possible. They were just wonderful. And I threw out an idea, and I said, what would you think if during halftime we did just one little walk around the track to really think about cancer and to continue raising funds for those going through cancer.
And once again, when is Pink Out Night?
Pink Out Night? Oh.
October 13th, Friday night. Yes.
I'm glad you remember the date.
Yes.
So many times students get a bad reputation in the community. And I mean, they just have an incredible heart in who they are. And that reputation is not right. That comes so many times. Listening to our student cheer block, again, what they're going to be doing is they're setting up a cancer care fund for students, for staff members, teachers, grandparents, anybody that's going through this, just to be able to provide them something special on behalf of the cheer block, a note from the cheer block, and just a small gift card saying, hey, we're thinking about you. Because through our journey and through so many others, it's just that, hey, when you know that you have a group behind you and you know that you have something special cheering you on, it just makes all the difference.
Rachel and Dave, thank you for sharing this story. You've been listening to In the Know, presented by The Glass Doctor. We fix your pains. I'm Dan Spaulding. Have a good weekend, everybody.